preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quick on Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Morning. We exalt you, Jesus. Your name is above every name. You are King and you are God forever. You died on that cross for our sins. Never sinned, and you rose from the dead. You are the way, truth, and the life, and no man will come to the Father in heaven except through you, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, we exalt you on high. The name of Jesus Christ is above every name. He is worthy of praise. He said in John 15, without him, we can do nothing. The Spirit, we can do nothing. God in heaven, we thank you today for your holy word that's alive and powerful in the scriptures and the Bible you've given us. And for your Holy Spirit that you've given your people to teach us, to guide us into all, to speak to us, to show us things to come. We praise you today because we can know the truth, and the truth sets us free from the lies of this world, from the sins and habits and addictions of this world. We thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood. We thank you for your powerful word, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit this morning. Believe you're going to live in this church, in this nation again, going to be a revival. And souls are going to be saved, and lives are going to be changed. Prodigals are going to come home. True repentance is going to happen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. It's good to worship the Lord. Amen. I enjoyed that. I don't know about you guys. Well, we welcome you to Fire and Grace Church this morning. We welcome those listening by Blog Talk Radio. Appreciate you being with us. We're going to dig in this morning to hopefully an encouraging word. I had several comments about the message last week. One was, it was blistering. But you're going to understand this morning why I really emphasized the importance of prayer last week. And I hope that you've increased your prayer life, if not because of the fear of God, at least because of the fear of pastor blistering you again. But there's a good reason why. We're going to talk about this morning the seed of the Word of God, but listen to me real closely. I'm going to say this because this is kind of piggybacking off of last week. The seed is the Word of God, but prayer is the water. Now, all of you know that if you plant seed, but you don't water it, usually not going to have a very big harvest, if any. Now, sometimes there are some seeds that manage to spring up. But you guys know, you guys have been planting the garden. Some of you have planted one this year, last year. Everyone knows how important water is to the seeds that you plant. I want to encourage you, listen, we've been planting a lot of seeds. This church, and I know individually, you guys have been sharing things with friends, with family. Some of you now for years, you've been planting seeds in family and friends and coworkers and neighbors, wondering, will the seed ever spring up? Will I ever see the fruit of it? And this morning, I'm just going to encourage you, you will see the fruit of it. Now, this is not to say you don't need to pray and you don't need to fast and you don't need to water it. And of course, if you to have a garden, you're going to have to keep planting seeds, right? But this is very important. I want to share some things with you because these are some testimonies. Before we get into the scriptures this morning, I just want to read a few because I don't always get to share these. And I just want to say this to Fire and Grace Church. I know I blistered you last week. You got a spanking last week. But this week, I want to encourage you and just say thank you because what I'm about to read is just a few of the messages and the testimonies and the emails that I get from people who are listening to both the broadcast of our services and the radio show and the book and all kind of things. I've got a powerful testimony this week from a lady in Canada, and I just want to encourage this church. Your prayers, your giving, your faithfulness, you're part of this as much as I am. This is our fruit I want to share with you. And the Lord really spoke to me this morning and last night as I was praying, and he just said, you know, I see your labor. And the seeds of truth that you keep planting, they're going to bear fruit. Keep planting them and keep watering them. They will bear fruit. Amen? What I believe we're beginning to see now, we're beginning to see the first fruits. Because I was talking with Nancy yesterday, and we were talking about the way things were in 2010. We're not really preaching anything different on Facebook, through the church and the broadcast. The books, we're not preaching anything different than we were preaching in 2010. What you've found out there now is there's a hunger, and there's almost like a veil off the eyes of some right now. And I believe we're moving into a new season, and I think things that people are seeing, the things bad in the world, all this ruling by the Supreme Court to legalize gay marriage across America in all 50 states, a lot of people are realizing. They're seeing what ISIS is doing in the Middle East. People are realizing that the world is getting darker. It's getting more evil. It's getting more wicked. It's getting more anti-Christ, anti-God, more sinful. And so there are a lot of people that have been on the edges, some backsliders, some prodigals, some unsaved people who believe in Jesus or believe in God. But they've just been living their lives in the world and compromise and lukewarmness or whatever. But they're beginning. There's an awakening beginning, I believe. And what the Lord wants me to encourage this morning is don't be discouraged if it seems like the seeds you've planted hadn't borne a lot of fruit. Because you're going to see fruit. If you're faithful, if you persist, if you don't give up and quit. The problem is a lot of people, and the devil gets in a lot of people's head and in their heart, and he gets them to quit right before they're going to reap a harvest, right before they're going to see someone's life change. I mean, we will only know in eternity how many people were about saved through the witness and the seeds and the prayers of somebody, and then that person that was witnessing to that individual got discouraged or depressed and backslid and went back in. And that person, they never got to see the fruit of their labor because they gave up on it before it was time. let me pull this up here. Let me read to you some fruit. And I'm just going to give some first names. Some of these people are probably listening today or will listen to the archive broadcast. And so, but I don't want to give their full name, but this is Chris from Texas. Now, Chris told me that some time back that he got back right with the Lord. He was a prodigal. He was a backslider, and he got back right with the Lord listening to the messages, the iTunes podcast. And this is what he sent me not too long ago. He said, I look forward to your show and your sermons every week. I can't wait until Tuesday night or Wednesday morning when I get to listen. I think he's doing a large work in my life, and he has given me an almost unquenchable thirst for his word and specifically prophecy. He led me to you and then to Irvin Baxter, and now I listen to you both all the time. The understanding I have gotten from you and Irvin and with the Lord opening my eyes to these truths is amazing. I can now have very in-depth conversations with people about the events unfolding before us. I can show them where these events are discussed in the Bible, and I have much more knowledge about things such as the Nephilim, your show. I just want to let you know that the Lord has been working in my life through you. Thank you. This is from Adam in California. This was in May. He said, I have been spending some time on your page this evening, drinking in the articles from the last word, including dreams of an impending nuclear attack. I am very grateful the Lord has brought us together. What you share is really what I have known and felt for some time, but I have yet to meet someone, even among believers, some open-air preachers, doing way more than me, who share the heart for the whole truth and the message that is faithfully relevant to the times, in awe, praising the Lord. He said, I know the Lord has used the dream to meet you and encourage me not to fear, but rather to step more into the prophetic ministry. Just very encouraged. Thanks, Brother Dean. Steve from Indiana, this was June 28th. He said, your message Sunday was one of the most powerful messages I've ever heard. Today is my birthday. I'm 68, and a time for me to reflect. I'm sad that the churches and pastors won't preach the truth. Your ministry is certainly set apart from most. You are a blessing. Keep preaching the truth. I live in Indiana, so much appreciate your willingness to stand on the truth. Thanks again for being part of the remnant. God bless you and your ministry. Now, this is Lisa from Atlanta, and this was yesterday. And she said, hi, Pastor Dean. I found your radio show, Mass Deception of Christians, the Third Temple and the Peace Treaty. She said, in big capital letters, life-changing. I am still recovering. She said, I truly believe that once you were born again and had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that it was sealed. You didn't have your belief backed by Scripture. You had Scripture backing your belief. That's a different way of that. This also now explains a lot of things. I asked the Baptist about the scripture, those who endure to the end will be saved. And she said to me, you endure to the end because you're saved. Don't you like how they twist that around? Also explained to me why I didn't have the fear of the Lord and more respect for God. This changes everything. You know what? I was getting complacent, taking things for granted. No more. Scripture, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, holds a different significance. Thank you. Now, here's the email I got. This was Friday from the Nova Scotia, Canada. Had no idea she was listening. I don't even think she's on the Facebook page, as far as I know. She may be. But she says, Pastor Odell, how do I thank you for what you have done for me? The Lord led me to your teachings this past December, which set me on a journey of truly getting right with him. Shook me from my slumber and showed me clearly that I was not saved, even though I would have thought I was. Being raised in Baptist doctrine, you have opened my eyes and shown me that in my laziness to not consult the scriptures against church teaching, I allowed myself to be deceived. I have learned so much under your convicting preaching, which I have been missing for the last 15 years or so in my current church. I finally thirst after God. He said, I had always to have that deep hunger for him, but never really grasp it. He now finally consumes me. Thank you, Father. He has been more merciful, patient, and loving to me, a horrible sinner, than I ever deserved. As I continue to seek God's guidance in my family, and she said, if my family's to stay in our current church or go elsewhere, I'm thankful that I have your services on Blog Talk to help sustain me. I consider myself a long-distance member of Fire and Grace Church. Unfortunately, we have become the lukewarm that God warned of. I cannot tell you how this breaks my heart, church family, and pray with tears that God would awake all of us in this assembly. If God brings it to your mind, I beg you also to pray this for my husband and two sons. The world and its distractions continues to pursue their time, energy, and hearts. I know that you understand the pain that I feel over this as you shared about your daughters. I am not sure if it was one or two. Please know that I pray for her or them, that they would come into God's saving grace. And she said, thank you for continuing to help shepherd God's teachings about spiritual warfare. God graciously chose to confirm to me what you have been preaching in this area through a health issue. He showed me what an attack is and how binding and rebuking that demon and verbally acknowledging that God has complete control over my body and can heal me without the surgical intervention recommended. After praying that prayer, I prayed it no more, but thanked him daily for what I knew he was already doing, and he did. All of my days, I will remember his faithfulness and how he chose to reveal himself to me in this way. There is none like him. I continually pray for you, Nancy, your children, and all attendees of Fire and Grace. I pray for your physical and spiritual protection. I pray that God would continue to use you in a mighty way. I pray that he would continue to bless and lengthen the days of your ministry, that many would be saved in these last days. I pray that his discernment would remain strong, and I pray that you continue in his strength and direction. She said, oh, brother, I cannot wait to meet you in heaven to thank you in person for all that you have done for me. Rhonda, Canada. I could read many more. I will read this. This is, I will read about, this was cool, about the book. And again, many of you know I was writing the book. I had injured my ankle very badly, had to have surgery, laid up, had to have my leg up for about 5 months, and it was a long, painful recovery. This is just a testimony on that, and, you know, Nancy and I wouldn't have made it through that time if it hadn't been for you guys, for our church family, your prayers, your giving, your support. Everything you've always, so I'm saying, you guys, you know, I know I blister you sometimes, but you're still great. I love you. God loves you. He just wants us to move on. Amen. This is Karen, and I can't remember where she is now. She says, Dean Odle, I received your book over a week ago. Thank you for writing this book. This information is very necessary for the body of Christ. It has been very helpful in my life. And I told her, praise God, sorry it took longer than normal. We had a little problem getting her the book. She said, that's okay. It was perfect time. She said, I had just been given a book on contemplative prayer where Thomas Merton is the hero in the book. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, there it is. She said, then I learned that a dear friend of mine attended a conference with Grant Mahone, runs with Jason Abram, a new mystic, and Ian Clayton. All of them are doing and teaching astral travel. I have wept and grieved all week while reading. Lots of, if it pains me, how much more is the Lord pained over his polluted church? Thank you for speaking the truth. That's just... And let's see here. What's this other one here? Another lady. Well, Becky. I can't remember where Becky's from now. Some of these I had in my notes, and some of these are in email. But she said, I just got the book yesterday, and I am convinced everyone needs to read it. God has been leading me to ministries that are on the exact same page, educating us about, she uses the NAR, but the whole deception going on within the charismatic church. And the prophetic, she said, slithering into our churches and these, even our children's college campus ministries, as my son just graduated and this mysticism is being promoted, the polluted church to equip the saints in these last days. Thanks, Pastor Ding. So those are just a few. This lady, she wants copies for all of her grown children. And that if she can't get a print copy, she's going to buy them all Kindles so that she can put the book on it and give them the Kindle. But I'm saying all that, say this, I'm not trying to toot my own here. I'm saying that I've looked at this truth over the years. One of the first messages I ever preached years ago against the whole seeker-sensitive, watered-down philosophy of ministry, where you water it down and you don't say controversial and you don't talk about sin and you don't talk about hell and you don't talk about anything that would disturb a seminary professor. And I've always believed that you speak the truth of the Word of God, all the truths in the Word of God, no matter who likes it, no matter who doesn't like it. You sow the seeds of truth all that you can. And sometimes they're going to make people mad. Sometimes they're going to make people offended. And sometimes they're going to make people depressed and discouraged. Sometimes they're going to make people convinced. Sometimes people are going to be miserable for a while because you gave them the truth. But I've always believed in God's word. See, we'll either trust in the ways of man, or we're going to trust that God's word will accomplish what he sends it to do. You see what I'm saying? That's why I've always believed, I don't care if church stays small, and we've stayed small for 6 years now. But I can tell you this much. I know by staying faithful to God and to God's word and the seeds of God's truth and not being ashamed of any part of the gospel or anything that is written in the word of God, God will honor that and he will water it and our prayers will water it and he will bring forth fruit. And we're beginning to see that. Back in 2010, we didn't see any of that kind of stuff, did we? It was all mean, nasty, long debates and arguments on Facebook, giving people the same truths. Now, I'm not saying some of those. I had a brother get angry because he wanted to teach his once saved, always saved doctrine. And hey, if you're going to teach it on Facebook publicly, be ready for somebody to say, no, that's not so, and here's why. And one minute he said he respected my ministry, and the next minute he told me I was a Pharisee and deceived. So, see, I like the block feature on Facebook. I'm done with these Christians that want to stay in their deception and error. I'm going to give it to you. And if you're humble and you want to listen, I'll give it to you 3 or 4 times. But if you want to get nasty and you know, the sign that you're losing a debate or an argument, you result to name calling. Once you result to name calling or insults or getting off of the topic, then you're losing the argument or the discussion or the debate or whatever you want to say. Or I'll say this, you've gotten into emotion. You may not be losing it. You may be in the truth, but you've gotten into emotion. I want everybody to turn this morning and let's turn to Peter. Look at this. Talk about the seed of God's word a little bit. Just give you some scriptures. But I want you to be encouraged. Keep the seeds of truth. Even the so-called controversial ones. Right? I really believe that we have the ruling we have from the Supreme Court on homosexual marriage, really because for the last 30 years, preachers don't want to touch it. They don't want to call it sin. They don't want to call it an abomination. They don't want to call it detestable. Say, if you practice it, you'll go to hell forever, all eternity. That's not popular, but it is the truth. Amen. Same goes for adultery or fornication or witchcraft or drunkenness, whatever, you know. All truths are not pleasant, right? This is what he says. We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's just read verse 22. He was speaking to believers here, but this is important. The word of God is the seed of the word of God, and it calls the word of God seed. Let's look at it. He's in verse 22. He says, seeing you have purified souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Do you see that right there? He says, for all flesh is as the grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this word by which the gospel is preached unto you. He says that we are born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. Now, when God uses the term word of God, he's talking about the logos. The word logos in the Greek means full expression of Christ. That's why Jesus is called the Word of God. Gospel of John chapter 1, what does it say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the logos. Okay? But so is the written scriptures that are breathed, God-inspired. They are alive and powerful, and even Jesus said that the words that he spoke to us are spirit and they are life. Amen? The word of God is eternal, living power. Now, I've talked about this before. I mean, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick or alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged, dividing asunder between the soul and the spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's Hebrews 4:12. But when quick, powerful, alive, and effectual. See, the problem is that most of the world has been ashamed of the word of God. That's why Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and of my words, I will be ashamed of you. And let me just inform people out there, the homosexual community and everybody else. When Jesus says my words, he is the eternal God. He is the everlasting Father, the Prince, the mighty God. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So when he says my word, he means from Genesis to Malachi in the Old Testament and Matthew to Revelation in the New Testament. The word of God, the logos, the divine expression of what he has spoken. And not just what he has spoken. This is what's so awesome. There's the word logos, talking about the word of God. And then there's the word rhema in the Greek. So it's not just what God has spoken or expressed, but what he is speaking or emphasizing even now. This is the reason why a lot of churches are missing it and they're not seeing fruit is because they are not speaking and emphasizing what God's word he wants to emphasize. That's very important. I can't remember. You need to look at the scripture up for me. But in Proverbs, when he says that a word spoken in is like apples of gold and of silver, a word has to be spoken in its proper season. This is what's lacking and why the word of God is not really bearing the fruit in some churches, because you know you can get up and talk about you can get up and talk about Solomon's temple. But if you got a church full of fornicators, you're missing the message you should be preaching. Proverbs 25:11. Let me read that again. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. So there you go. Spoken in season. Let's go to another passage here. Why don't you back up with me? Let's go to Luke chapter 8. Going to Luke 8. I hope so. Now, Jesus told this parable. This is in verse 4, the parable of the sower. And he said, people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city. He spake by a parable. And he said, a sower went out to sow his seed. And he sowed, and some fell by the side, and it was trodden down, and the fowls devoured it, and some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. And others fell on the ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried. Now, this is Jesus crying with a loud voice here. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. He said this in verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Everybody say that with me this morning. The seed is the word of God. Now, Jesus told this story, and this is what's important. That's why I'm going to use this to encourage you, hopefully, this morning. This is a foundational parable to the entire kingdom of God. Okay? Verse 11, he says, now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, and then come the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now, what's interesting here is the word here there is a present participle or a present tense Greek, which means these are people that are continually hearing the word of God, ongoing and currently, but the devil keeps coming and stealing the word out of their heart. They allow the devil to steal it for various reasons. He says, lest they should believe and be saved. So these are people who hear the word of God, they hear the gospel, message of Jesus. They hear the message of repentance. They hear the truth. The seed is planted, but they allow the devil to come and steal that seed. So they don't get saved. Then he says this in verse 13, they on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, for a while believe, but in the time of temptation, they fall away. Now, here we see the word of God, the seed planted, but because there is a lack of moisture. Now, what did I tell you brings the moisture, the rain? Because of a lack of prayer, a lack of seeking God. The Bible is called. He says that we are washed by the washing of water by the word. So the Bible's called, the word of God's called water. It's called the water of life. The Holy Spirit is also called the river of life and the water of life. So it says these here lack moisture. I mean, they don't have enough. So obviously, they received the word, and it says they sprung up, saved. They begin to grow spiritually, and you can't begin to grow spiritually unless you're born again. So the word of God had an effect in their lives, but because they didn't seek after God, they didn't pray, and they didn't get filled with the Holy Spirit, they lacked moisture. And because maybe somebody didn't come along and encourage them and pray for them and help them and give them the truth and water that seed, it says they believe for a while, and the word believe here is to have saving faith in Jesus Christ. So they believe for a little while, and they began to grow spiritually for a little while, but in the time of temptation, testing, they fell away. Isn't it amazing? We got preachers saying you can't fall away. Now, the church world is deceived, the majority of the church world. And listen, I don't care if it offends Baptists. I don't care. If it offends, if you're Presbyterian or Baptist or Catholic or whatever, if you're wrong, you're wrong. If you're teaching false doctrine, it doesn't matter what denomination you are. You're still false. I don't care what seminary you went to, what degrees you have hanging on the wall, or how many books you've read, or if you can read Greek and Hebrew. I don't care. If you're wrong, you're wrong. If the Bible says you fall away, you can believe for a while and fall away, apostasia, you can fall away. All this is free this morning. This is just a little snack before dinner, all right? Then he says the next one, Jesus says, and they that fell among the thorns are they that when they have heard, go forth. Again, they begin to grow. The plant begins to grow. Remember, no growth from the seed. If you're not born again by the seed of the word of God, you cannot begin to grow spiritually. So this is another group that hears the word, the seed
they begin to grow, but they are choked out with the cares and the riches and the pleasure of life, and they bring no fruit to perfection. Now, the word perfection here means maturity, no fruit. Do you hear that? That's why we can go to John 15:2, where Jesus said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And then he tells you where he takes it away to. He says, those branches are taken away and they wither and they're cast in the fire and they are burned. I've had people say, well, that's your works are burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. It's not you. No, he said, I am the vine. You are the branches. It doesn't say your works are burned up in the fire. It says the branches are burned up in the fire. Every branch, Jesus said this, every branch in me. If you're not born again, if you've never been saved, you are not in Jesus Christ. This foundational parable of Jesus destroys the lie of once saved, always saved, or unconditional eternal security. But notice again, the whole story is about the seed of the Word of God, and it affects in people's lives. And this is why, don't give up. See, some of these people, let me share this with you. Some of these people may be in group one or two here. I mean, in two or three, or even one. Be in this group, but if you come along and keep planting the seed, and if you come along and keep watering that seed, and if you're faithful and persistent to God and to preach God's word and to pray for people, I promise you this, you might move some of those in group one, two, or three to group four. And this is what I want to encourage you. Be faithful. Keep sowing the seed. Keep watering the seed. Believe and pursue. You're going to get fruit. Because Jesus said this, the same seed, he said, the seed of the word of God in this fourth group here, he says, but that which is on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. I love what John 15 says. If you want to check me, go check me. But when he was talking about, Jesus said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And they're taken as branches and they wither and they're cast in the fire. He says, abide in me and I'll abide in you, and you can ask what you will and it shall be done. He said, abide in me, stay in me, remain in me. He said, if a man does not abide in me, what's going to happen to him? Cast in the fire. And then he tells us in verse, what is it, 8 or 10 there in John 15. He says, here's how you, if you want to abide in me, you keep my commandments. Real simple. I think this is what a lot of people woke up from the program, the radio show the other night. They found out you actually have to obey the gospel. Hebrews 5:7. Jesus became the author of eternal salvation unto all those that obey him. Ouch. But my pastor told me what I had to do was believe. Well, your pastor lied to you. You better obey God. You better walk with God. The seed. Now, go to Psalm. I'm sorry, not Psalm. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Everybody get there? I love this right here. We're going to read from verse 6. Somebody say, I love the word of God. See, to the true Christian, if you've been born again, one of the signs you've been born again is you love the word of God. You love the truth. You love it. You just eat it up. You just hunger and thirst for it. You want to know more and more. You want to feed it to your soul. If you don't, either you're not saved or you're backsliding. If you don't love the word of God, you're not saved or you're backsliding. Amen. Everybody there? Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not there, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So God says here that his word, again, he says, is seed. And he says that the seed, he says, the word, the seed that goes forth out of his mouth, he said, will return to him void. But it will do that which he pleases. Now listen to me. That doesn't mean that every person you plant seed in, the seed of the word of God, that doesn't mean every person's going to get saved. Doesn't mean every person's going to be born again or every person's going to agree and listen. Doesn't mean that. Okay? But hear what I'm saying to you this morning. God is saying very clearly that even if a person doesn't believe, they receive the seed of the word and they choose not to believe it, or they choose not to obey it. He said, if they choose not to, the word has still accomplished something in their lives. You know what it has accomplished? God has given them his words. He has given them an opportunity. Even if it's rejected, the word of God has accomplished its purpose. Amen? That's why God said the word will never return to him void. Now, I love poor Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel. How would you like this? The prophet Ezekiel is told by God, I'm not going to send you to the mission field. I'm not going to send you to a people who have a hard language. You have to learn a different language. No, he said, I'm going to send you to the rebellious house of Israel, your own people. And he said, when I tell you to speak, you speak. And when I tell you not to speak, don't speak. He said this, but you will prophesy to them and you will give them warning from me, but they will not listen. Now, how would you like that job? Ezekiel, you're going to go prophesy. You're going to go preach my word. You're going to go give them warning, but they're so rebellious. They're so entrenched in their sin and their and their idolatry and their wicked ways and their false theology and their false doctrines and everything else. They're so entrenched, they're not going to listen to you. But you're going to sow the seed of my word anyway. And then their blood will be upon their own hands. Right? See, the purpose of the word of God, even if it's not received, is so you won't have people's blood and their eternal souls on your hands. You hear me? This is why you should never, ever, ever, ever water it down, soften it up, change it. I mean, I can't tell you how many messages I get and how many times over the years I've heard from Christians. They have been reading the Word of God for themselves. Oh, my God. That's why the Catholic Church wants people to read the Bible for themselves, because you start finding out the truth. But there have been people that have gone to traditional churches, whether it be Roman Catholic or Baptist or Methodist or even the old Pentecostal Assembly of God church I used to go to. And you keep reading the Bible and you find out, well, now the Bible says this, but my church teaches completely opposite of this or completely wrong in this area. And so people excited about the Word of God have gone to their pastors or their priest. And they'll say, look what this says. How can we believe this? How can we teach? How can you teach this, A, when the Bible says B? Well, one guy told me, one pastor said, well, This was a Baptist pastor told this fellow that on my book, he said, I went to my pastor who told me, he said, well, you know, all my Baptist pastor friends and all my evangelists, they all teach these things. Once they'd always say pre-trib rapture, all this other nonsense. They all preach these things. So, I mean, I know what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but basically I'm not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole. And the pastor asked him to leave the church. There are a lot of pastors out there who know the truth about certain things, but because their denomination and their check, and they won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Now, let me tell you something. The Apostle Paul asked in Galatians, and he said, and I think it's 1 verse 10. Check me on that. Just doing some of this by memory this morning. But he said, if I seek to please men, I cannot be the Christ. Can't do it. 1:10. I am blown away by the level of man-pleasing preachers who want everybody to like them. I am blown away by that. But that is, we are in the hellhole now of moral depravity and decay that we are living in. And on Judgment Day, most of what happened in our society and in our culture will be laid at the responsibility and the foot of the church. You know, back in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, people can talk about it was morally oppressive. Yeah, because you couldn't live like a heathen, barbarian, and society accept you. I mean, people didn't even talk about, I mean, you didn't even share if you had somebody in your family shacking up, not married. You didn't even, that wasn't even, no, that's a secret. That's too vile to even let anybody, can't even let the neighbors know about that. Divorce? Oh, no. I mean, Nancy and I found when cleaning out my great-great-grandmother's closet, found a purse with a divorce decree of my great-grandfather from 1914. No one in the family knew that he had been married before. He was married to this woman, Delilah, and they got a divorce. I mean, in 2014, I'm looking at a divorce decree in perfect condition from 1914, 100 years old. And I told my aunt, I said, you know about this? No. Why? It was too shameful. People were actually ashamed of sin. They were ashamed of immorality. They were ashamed. They actually had some conviction and felt guilt. You know what? That's a good thing. Because conviction of sin and feeling guilt or compunction is literally what brings us to true repentance, to stop the bad behavior and start doing what we should do in obedience to God. In fact, the word repentance in the Greek, metanoia, means to feel compunction or guilt that causes you to reform your actions. But look, that was the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. And then the hippies came and the Beatles. Do whatever you want. Drink as much as you want, get drunk as much as you want, do drugs, experiment with all kind of drugs. What if it feels good, do it. And here we are. The 6 children, teenagers are now running the world. And they're into Eastern religions, contemplative mysticism, which is just Hinduism and Buddhism with Christian names on it. Now fornication is okay. Adultery is okay. Homosexuality is okay. It's funny, though, how a lot of these people, they're okay with all that. But now we talk about pedophilia. Oh, no, no, no. No, no, no. That's wrong. Oh, really? So now you've got, you do have a standard of something is wrong. But think about how screwed up and hypocritical the world is. It's okay to kill the baby in the womb, but don't molest it once it's born. Does that even make sense? Something else. Liberals, Democrats, socialists, whatever. Kill the babies, but don't kill the serial killers. You know, no capital punishment. I had this argument at the dinner table with my stepsister one time. She was pretty granola back then. She was arguing about the death penalty, how I could be a Christian and be for the death penalty. I said, I tell you what. I said, you ought to at least get consistent. Right? If you're not going to be for the death penalty, then you can't be for abortion. I said, you're a hypocrite. You need to shut your mouth. That's in front of everybody. She later told her mother, I better be better prepared when I talk to him. The truth of the Word of God. Amen. It bears fruit. I want to show you something. I'm going to stop here in just a second. I told you I was going to encourage you. Here's your encouragement. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. All right there, Patrick. You're laughing like, yeah, right. I saw that. Back in the day, I was a poker player. I read body language real well. Where did I tell you? So you made me forget where I was turning to. 1 Corinthians 15. All right. First Corinthians 15. Let's go on down to verse 57. And this is for those of you in this church and those who are being faithful to preach the truth, to speak the word of God. You're not ashamed of any part of the Bible. You're sowing seeds. And of course, now I know you're praying more to water those seeds, of course. Here's what he says. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See, here's the admonition. Be faithful, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always sowing the seeds of God's truth. Always praying, fasting, laboring. It is labor to do the work of the ministry. And we're all called to do the work of the ministry, to lead others into God's truth, to salvation, to repentance, or to get the prodigals out of the pig pen to come home. We're all called to do that, not just the fivefold ministry. But he says here, he says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This is why what God wants us to be encouraged about. Your labor, if you're speaking the truth of God's word, you're preaching the true gospel, you're preaching things that are clearly in the word, doctrinally sound, you're preaching those things, you're standing for the truth, you're being a true light. You're not corrupting the word of God. I'll show you that verse in a minute. We're not corrupting the word of God, but you're giving forth the pure gospel. Your word, the truth on any matter, whether it be on eternal security or the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Holy Spirit or end times prophecy or whatever, it may be, if you're sowing the seeds of the Word of God and you're praying and you're fasting, you may be going through a dry season. You may not be seeing the fruit that you want to see right now. But God says, be steadfast, be unmovable, knowing that your labor is not in vain. The devil will tell you labor is in vain when you're going through dry periods or you're not seeing fruit. He'll tell you your labor is in vain. Don't believe that lie. God's word will not return void. You plant the truth of the God's word, the seed of God's word, and you water it with prayer and fasting. You see fruit. Sometimes it takes years to see fruit in a person's life or in a situation. That's okay. Sometimes you can see it pretty quick. It doesn't matter how long. He says, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. Your labor's not in vain. Your labor's not in vain. Man, I know it gets tiring. I shared this last week. I know it's hard balancing family, work, kids, teenagers, problems, stuff breaking at the house. And I mean, it's tough. Life is bad. And then to be a Christian, God wants you to be abounding in his work, and you think, I can't do any more work. I'm tired of work. But just remember this, the work of the Lord, it bears eternal rewards. You can literally save someone from spending an eternity in hell. You can save someone from having to go on living in hell on earth. Just like that lady wrote, just learning the principles of binding demons and spiritual warfare set her free from a health problem, just like it did Marlene. Just that simple truth. Binding the demons in Jesus' name, commanding them to leave, resisting sickness, infirmity, and oppression, and demonic attacks, resisting those things in Jesus' name, change somebody's life. See, everybody, the devil tries to discourage us, folks. And the reason he tries to discourage us when we're not seeing the fruit, he tries to discourage us because he knows that we will see. And he knows whenever we start seeing fruit, we get encouraged and we'll do more. So he tries to get us when we're tired, we're feeling lonely, we've had a defeat or we've had a problem, we're not seeing the answer of the fruit, or we're going through a struggle or a dry period and it seems like the fruit's far away. He's like, okay, now I can launch this attack. And maybe, just maybe, I can get them to give up. I can get them to stop bounding in the work of the Lord. And that's why I want to tell you, if the devil stopped your prayer life, he's in the process of winning. If he stops you from speaking the truth because you've had position or persecution because you've spoken things that are controversial yet true from God's word, but they're controversial and they don't go along with the status quo of the lukewarm, backslidden, false church world. The devil's always, you want to know what the devil says? Back up and shut up. You're not making a difference anyway. Right? God says, speak up and keep moving forward. Keep planting the seeds. Keep watering the seeds. You will bear fruit. You hear me? Those of you listening, you hear me? Don't be ashamed of any part of God's word. You never know what part someone will need. As far out as it sounds, like we shouldn't talk about the giants that were in the land. We shouldn't talk about the Nephilim. We shouldn't talk about the alien phenomenon going on, the UFO phenomenon. We shouldn't talk about that. But for some people, that's what they need to hear. They need to hear that God's word addresses these issues long before they ever became an issue. They need to understand and have answers to things. I get people thanking me all the time for preaching and talking about those things, about the Nephilim and the alien deception and the whole thing that's going on, the phenomenon, the demonic UFO phenomenon, and explaining how the Bible foretold that, even in the Old Testament, foretold that that would happen. I've had more people tell me thank you for the Science in the Bible series and explaining the whole revelation in Genesis. And more and more people now are saying, thank you for preaching end times. Thank you for preaching on Bible prophecy. Thank you for showing us what's going on in the world and showing where it's happening in the Bible. I had a brother call me the other day from North Carolina, phone for 45 minutes before the radio show Tuesday night. And he was telling me, thank you, thank you. He said, you know, I love to listen to some of these other ministers that are on Christian radio. And I love to listen, he said, to Alex Jones. He said, but the reason I like your show is because you take these same things that they're talking about and you show where it is in the Bible and how it applies and how it comes and how the Bible foretold it. He said, I love that. And see, you never know what a person you work with may be interested in, or where the devil's got them caught up into something or into some lie, or they just need to know an answer to one little thing. And you may think it's off the wall, but see, God, every truth in the Bible, that's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's why I believe the Bible is God-breathed, divinely inspired. Every word's there for a reason, for a purpose. And that you never know what part someone might need to answer a question, to remove a doubt, to remove a devil, to remove a lie, to remove a false teaching, so that they can believe God's word and either repent and get right with God, get saved, or get out of some error that they're in. Or even so a Christian might have an answer for somebody else. Say this with me. God's word is light. Every part of it. Pitiful. Amen. God is not unfaithful. One more passage. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that come oft upon it, and bring forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God, which beareth thorns and briars, is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that ministered to the saints and do minister. And we do, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not mouthful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He says, God is not unrighteous, verse 10, to forget your work and labor of love. God's not going to forget what you do for him. You hear me? In this life or the next. You know, God has shown me there's times that we've been in great need trying to do this ministry, this church, the things we do. And we've been in great need. And God has worked some miracles of provision for Nancy and I that would just, you know, some of you know some of them you don't know, but just mind-boggling miracles, even from people who were former enemies, right? I mean, just financial miracles, giving to our ministry, where we didn't ask at all. We didn't ask. We didn't seek it. But I've always, the Lord's let me know, you do my business, I will not forget your labor, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. I don't need $5 million yet. I will not drive a BMW or a Mercedes, even if I could afford it, just out of principle. But my point is, God is not unfaithful to what you do for him. And when you get in need, in real need, make sure you got something that you've deposited in his account. Amen? And you know, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about money and all those things that money cannot buy. Right? This is powerful stuff, y'all. It's an amazing thing that God says that we can be co-laborers with him. And that actually, that's why he's chosen to do all ministry upon this earth. You pray, he said, he taught us, you pray for my kingdom to come and my will to be done. You cast out demons in my name. You speak with new tongues and prophesy. You preach the gospel. It is through the foolishness of preaching he's chosen to save you. Yes, the Holy Spirit of God must move upon whatever we do for him. He wants us to do. He wants us to speak. And yes, sometimes it is tiring labor to do it. But it's worth it. I found him to be a good boss. Amen. Even though I wish he'd do some things sometimes a lot quicker than he does. And I'd like him to do some things different than he does. But he didn't tell me everything all the time. He just gives me part of it. Amen. Keep sowing the seeds, folks. Those of you listening to me, keep preaching the truth. Keep sowing the seeds. Don't give up on your stubborn, rebellious family members. Don't give up on your coworkers. Don't give up going to church. Don't give up going to prayer meetings. Don't give up fasting. Don't back away. Don't quit studying your Bible. Don't get intimidated by people or laws that are against us. If anything, I'll say it again. If you don't remember anything about this message, remember this. Don't up and don't shut up as a Christian. Amen. Speak the truth. God will, he will bring forth fruit through your life. And it's going to be worth it. You know, I remember when my mom passed away in 2010. I didn't know that was going to be one of the toughest days in my life. I wasn't expecting her to pass away. I mean, probably about a week before it happened is when I knew, or 2 weeks or so. I knew I'd spoken to her. I'd been at the hospital with her, and I knew the Lord spoke to me and said, that'll be the last time you talk to your mom face to face. And so my mom passed away on October 2nd, 2010, on a Saturday. I got that phone call. And that day was one of the toughest days of my life. I didn't know. You know, I'm a pretty tough guy at the time. I didn't know I'd feel that kind of pain. I just I hadn't lost a parent, so I didn't know what it's like to lose a parent. And I was feeling so bad, you know, I was just so, I think I cried all that day. And, you know, I miss her still. But I'm glad I got up and went to church that morning. How many of you know it would have been a good excuse to miss church? We weren't having services then. We were in that break period that we took back then. And so we drove all the way to LaGrange to go to church that morning, 45 minutes away. And I was sitting back there. I was sitting near the back of the church, and I was just, you know, it was hard. I'm glad I wasn't having to preach that morning. I probably couldn't have preached that day, but I still went to church. But I'm glad I went to church, because when praise and worship started, and I can't tell you what the songs were, I can't tell you what they were singing, but I just stood up and I lifted up my hands and I started worshiping God. And I saw one of the most clear visions from God. The presence of God came all over me. The peace of God came all over me. And I saw one of the most clear visions I've ever seen. But I saw my mom standing in heaven with Jesus. And I saw him in his white robe, and I saw her white robe. And the conversation that we had in the hospital, I'd asked my mom, I said, or I don't know now, it may have been before that, but I asked her, I thought my mom had been saved, you know, when she was young and just got away from God. Because, you know, I knew that my grandmother and them took them to church. And I said, Mom, when did you get saved the first time? When were you first born again? When did you really come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And she said, that day you prayed with me in 1987. So that was before she died. She told me that. I didn't know that. I mean, I knew that I had prayed with her and led her to the Lord, or back to the Lord, but I just thought she'd been a prodigal, but she'd never been saved. That was her born again experience. And I'm standing there in that church worshiping God on October 3rd, the next day. And I'm standing there and I see this vision of my mom in a white robe, looking younger, looking healthy. And I see her beside Jesus, and I'm not lying to you, the Lord turned and he looked at me and he said these words to me. He said, thank you for helping one of my children make it home. And the revelation of that we help other people make it, it's overwhelming. And the fact that I got to help my mother, wow. You know, but our lives, our prayers, our witnessing, our willingness to not back away or back down or fall away, to stay faithful and to keep speaking and to keep sowing that seed of the Word of God and to keep preaching and to keep pushing people to this. It makes a difference for all eternity in somebody's life. Please get hold of that you can help someone else make it to heaven and be with Jesus and have eternal life with our Creator forever because of something you do or say or pray. Powerful thing. It's the most important thing. No matter if we make people mad, we've got to tell them the truth. My mom cussed me and my brother out that night before she prayed with me. She cussed us out. She'd been out drinking and partying with my stepdad. They came in drunk and she cussed us out because we were sitting there watching Christian television, some preacher preaching on TV, back when there was a few that preached decent. She cussed us out, angry, mad, demons just talking through her. Finally, my brother looked at her. I mean, I got a gun pulled on me that night and everything else. From my stepdad, yeah, it was a heated discussion, but we just kept sowing the word, preaching the word, and then my brother just finally got sick of my mom's ranting and cussing, and he just pointed at her, and he was only 17 at the time. He said, I bind those demons in you in the name of Jesus. Well, my mom stopped arguing and cussing and sat down at the table, and we had a
civil conversation. And I got up the next morning. Everybody, my stepdad had to go to work. I sent my brother and sister on to church. And I talked to my mom for the next couple of hours and convinced her to give her life to Jesus. And she prayed with me that morning and my mom got saved. It ain't always pretty. So I use ain't on purpose. I am a Southerner. It's not always pretty. But the truth of God's word and the gospel of Jesus Christ will bear fruit if you will persist. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you allow us to be co-laborers with you, that you have literally chosen your people to be the light of the world, to take your gospel to people around us, to make disciples. God, help us do that. Help us be faithful. Help us be faithful in our preaching the truth and sharing the truth. Help us to be faithful in church. Help us to be faithful in prayer life, in giving, in fasting, in everything, so that we can keep abounding in the work of the Lord. Father, I know your word will bear fruit. We'll only know the full extent of that fruit in eternity. But it will bear fruit. We will see some of it now. Father, I pray for grace and power on my brothers and sisters just to be light and to let their light shine bright and strong and boldly in these last days. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I hope you have been encouraged. Amen. You can make a difference in somebody's life. An eternal difference. We're going to sign off. Appreciate you listening to us on the radio. Let us know you're out there. We'd love to know who's listening. We signed off.